One Way or Another by Blondie. What a superstar she was. You're listening to Sam Kane on Travel.Radio, your destination station. And as anticipated since the start of the show, I have been very, very excited and looking forward to this because I'm going to be chatting right now to one of my very good friends, June Field. June, how are you?
I'm great, Sam. How are you doing? You sound cheery as always.
Oh, God bless you, mate. So do you. You sound fantastic. So tell everybody where you are, June.
I'm in Dundee in Scotland. Very cold Dundee, I'm afraid, but safe and warm.
Have you had snow up there?
We have, last night, actually.
Oh, yes, we thought we were going to get it last night. We were looking out the window in hope, but nothing there. So,
June,
Oh, I love it up there. It's such a beautiful place. I remember visiting Dundee, the home of the comic book, if I remember. Is that right?
That's correct. Gorgeous. Very well done.
Gorgeous. Yeah. It's a beautiful place. All the statues around the town of Desperate Dan and Ur Willie and people like that. Is that right?
That's right. The Sunday Post. Yep,
beautiful,
you're right.
Beautiful place. June, I've been intrigued to get you on the show for some time because I've been explaining to people all throughout the show that you're the world's best psychic. That's the honour that you were given a few years back. Am I right?
That's correct. No pressure.
So how did that come about? I mean, you went somewhere abroad, didn't you? There was lots of people invited. Is that right?
Yes. There were people invited to take the casting in Ukraine, Kiev in Ukraine. And they did a show called Bitva Extrasense, which was the world's greatest psychic. And there were over 70,000 people worldwide invited. They whittled it down to the best 12, and then they did a show similar to X Factor, that you would have a psychic of the week or worst psychic of the week. And if you were worst psychic of the week, you got eliminated until eventually, 7 months later, you were left with the best one out of the bunch.
7 months? You were there for 7 months doing this?
7 months. I lived in Kiev, Ukraine.
Did they pay you for this, June, or was this all on your own dollar?
They paid me weekly for an amount, but I lived in an apartment and because I didn't want to live in a hotel, so I subsidised that myself. They paid some of it and I subsidised so that I could live in an apartment and be self-sufficient.
June, you've got to have a lot of confidence in your ability to, A, take the invitation to go over there and test yourself against 69,999 other purported psychic mediums. I mean, that's incredible. What a feat that is, pal.
Well, either that or I'm incredibly stupid.
Well, you're not that stupid. You won the thing. So, my goodness, you know, it was a risk well taken. So 70,000 people, I can't get my head around that. And obviously there's so many different facets to the world of psychic mediumship and all of that umbrella. I mean, there's so much involved in it, isn't there?
Oh, we all work in different ways. All of us work in different ways. And of course, I didn't go out there thinking, right, I'm going out there for 7 months. You didn't know how long you were going to be there. You didn't really know how all the other psychics worked until the show started airing and you were able to see each other work because we were kept apart. We had to do these tasks and we were all separated, mobile phones taken off of us. So no one ever knew how the other person worked until the show started airing each week.
And did you have any idea what they were going to give you as each test progressed?
No. No, I didn't, but some of them were a bit hairy. There was one in particular that I had to go through a forest and they had things like tripwires and nets and holes that you could fall into in the ground and explosives, believe it or not. And your aim was to get to a celebrity that was in a cabin somewhere in the woods and you had to make your way through and try and find her with what direction we're pulled in, avoiding all of these traps. I actually was the only one that managed to get to her. But I remember at the time when they were filming and I would want to go in a set direction, I would warn the cameraman. I'd say, listen, if I fall in a hole or something bites me, I'm biting the first person that's next to me.
I love it. It's just incredible, June. I mean, what other things were they putting in front of you? I mean, there's one thing where it said that you literally had to find a serial killer. Was that part of that TV show or was that something else?
No, that was part of the TV show. I was asked to hang on to an object. I was given an object from an individual and the cameras were rolling. That was nearing the end of the competition. There was probably only about six of us left.
Oh, okay.
And so they'd whittled it down. The police were watching and the cameras were rolling, and we were told to hang on to an object that belonged to a young woman who had died. And it was in front of our parents, and I held on to the object and described a murder scene that I couldn't possibly have known. And in fact, it was quite precise that I could still see it in my head today. And I gave details such as the murderer was still at large. They were trying to find him. I said that he had a tattoo on his shoulder, a scar on his hand, the colour of car, the number plate, some of the numbers, that what he did for a living, that he smelt of oil, and also that the girl who was murdered wasn't actually biologically connected to her parents, and it transpired that she actually was adopted, but the producers didn't know that until I said it.
Wow.
Which was quite strange.
So they had all of the information. I'm guessing this was a case that was ongoing, that wasn't out in the public domain, am I right?
Well, that's correct, because they were trying to find this killer. And the police pulled me aside after the filming and they said, look, can you hang on to this other object? And it was a comb. And I said, no, it's the same guy. It's the same guy. This guy's killed this other girl. And then I'd won the competition after that, I think a couple of months later. And I was home. I was in Scotland, in Britain, and it hit BBC News that this guy who was the murderer had then been found. And he had stated that the psychic that described him was 99.9% accurate with the description. He tried to have the tattoo off his shoulder lasered off.
What a tune. I've gone cold, mate. The hairs on my arms are stuck on end. That is just, it's an incredible story. There's another one you told me about, photographs. This was quite kind of late in the competition, where there were people lined up in front of you with photographs in an envelope. Have I got this right?
Now, I think you might be talking about the casting when they were giving you a test for it later on. They wanted you to look at photograph, and there was five people on it, and you had to just say to them who was alive and who was dead. And I picked out on photograph, this person's alive and they've got stomach problems. This person's dead and they passed with a hemorrhage. This person's alive and he's a left-hander and musical. And they hadn't experienced anything like that before, and it ended up it was the producer's family, and they went, oh God. So that's what I do. I think I like to do photographs. I'm very good with photographs. I just get an image in my head and I'm able to feel my way in and follow energy. So yeah, that was the photograph one.
Jim, some of the things and the stories and, you know, that you tell, and it's just, well, it is. It's beyond belief, because to fathom it is just utterly incredible. When did you find out that you had this?
I was born like this. A bit weird, Sam. I was born, and most of the good mediums, the ones that are, you know, up there, have been born like this. You have to be born a little bit weird with it. And I don't know anything any different. This is the way that I am. I've never been normal.
You know, we've been friends for a long time, and we'll talk about that in a second. But a friend of mine said to me, do you believe? I said, no, I don't believe. I know. You know, and it's that simple, isn't it? It's
not. You just know.
You just know.
There is the clairaudience, clairsentience, and clairvoyance. And then there's the big one of, I just know.
So, listen, like you say, it always happened to you. But there must have been a time where you knew that you were slightly different to everybody else.
Yeah, but you don't realise you're different until you grow up a bit. When you're little and you see people and things happen around you, you think you've nothing to compare it to, so you think that that's totally normal. And then it's only as you get a bit older, when it's about 8 or 9, you think to yourself, no, that's not right. They're not having the experiences I am. You do then get to grips with being different from people, and it only gets worse as you get older.
Yeah, it's just a bit mind-blowing. I know so many people. There's a good friend of mine who said that they, when they were about 8 years old, they said they went to a grandfather's funeral, and they were stood in the church, and they saw their granddad stood on the altar, and they were saying to the mum, can you not see him? And he wasn't telling lies. He was an innocent child. But it's like you say, it's no different, is it? It's something you grow up with and part of your life. So how do you feel? What guides you, June? What is it that, you know, there's a spirit guide that you have that gives you this information, or do you just see it firsthand?
Well, I see it firsthand, but I do have 4 oriental helpers, and they're more to do with healing and But they guide me also. But I don't actually go to someone and then ask. I think that they're just protection for me. They've been with me a long time. And I just get a feel, I follow an energy on. And if I listen to someone talking about something, whether it's something they're going to do in life or whether it's someone that's ill, I just know the outcome. And that's where we were talking about clairaudience, clairsentience, or you just know. And a lot of people have come to me for perceptions, not just about people who have passed and making that connection with them, but my perceptions of whether I think something's going to work or whether it's not.
So do you get people coming to you to want to tell you what happened in the past, as it, you know, when somebody's passed, to let them know that there's more to life, or do you get people coming to you to figure out what's going to happen in the future?
Both.
All right.
Bit of both. Both. I get government. I've had government people from all over the world, and they're looking for what the perceptions are of what's going to happen. And then I have people that have lost individuals, and they're not looking about for past. They're looking for me to describe an individual and to bring them to life, in a sense, to prove their existence, that even after physical death, that they still live on. And also then to give them evidence of what they've been doing, or what was placed in the coffin with them, or what's written on their grave, or who cleans the gravestone, or what flowers were put down, or what they've said. That's evidence again to know that they exist even after physical death in the future, so that they can say, it's not just like reading past records, it's like the individual is asking and telling you what they've done in the future since the past. So that proves their existence.
It's the ultimate question, isn't it, June? Is there something after? And you, I suppose you give them so much peace by giving them that information.
I try to. That's my aim. I think that we're all here for a purpose. Some people don't know their purpose, but I do feel that if we can touch as many people as we can and make a difference to their lives, that's what matters. Because all of the physical things that we have, the materialistic things, cars, trinkets, baubles, houses, etc., we can't take any of that with us. We can only take with us how we've interacted and if we've made a difference to others' lives. That's what we can take. That's what's important.
You're really holding people's hopes in your hands, June. You've got to take this seriously, haven't you?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. It's not everybody's cup of tea. But I do like a challenge. If I'm ever at a demonstration and there's somebody sitting at the back, that I'll head straight for a skeptic first. I know. And they'll... At first, you get the kind of cocky look, as if they'll go, yeah, what about this? And then when you get into their energy and you follow it in, you know, that just makes me smile, I think. Although I speak to people who have passed, etc., and my plan is to help people, I do have a sense of humour, and it could be a little bit warped sometimes. And it makes me smile, you know, when you just walk away and you're thinking, what the heck?
Well, I think you could be excused for being a bit warped if you chatted to dead people every day. it's an odd thing. There's no two ways about it. It's something that I consider I've had all my life as well. We've spoken about this at great length. And it's very odd. Listen, before we get into that, I want to talk about how you feel about the charlatans out there. Because there's those people, and there are many of them, June, that give what you do such a bad name. And I just think it's horrendous that they're going out there and they're preying on people's emotions, preying on their hopes, preying on their peace, preying on everything that's fundamental about them.
Yeah, there are an awful lot of them out there, to be honest, Sam. And for a long period of time, people would send me the skeptics. They'd go, well, okay, go to her. And they would come in and sit down and they'd go, well, I've got to tell you that I've been to see somebody before and it was absolute rubbish, but I've been pushed to come to you. I thought, no pressure. But there is an awful lot of people out there that are not who they say they are. And people that phone lines and have psychics talk to them and spend incredible amounts of money on the phone and back and forward and texting and all of those, I would urge people not to do that. Find and do your homework and find someone who's reputable, get the reviews, not just what they say about themselves, but what other reputable people say about them. And do your homework and find somebody. If you're looking for something, go for someone genuine.
Yeah, it's a minefield out there, you know, over Christmas and everything. They were talking about the Amazon reviews and people doing that kind of con stuff. So it's just so difficult now to sort the wheat from the chaff. June, how can people find you? Where can they look to find out to get a reading from you? And I put my life on the line with regards to your ability.
Oh, you're a star. You're one of these strange people, Sam.
Well, I've been called worse, mate.
I mean that in the best possible way. You're one of these strange people, just like myself. And something's coming for you as well. And if they can find me at junefieldmedium.com, just Google me. Just Google Junefield and they'll find me there.
Yeah, you're an incredible lady. June, I know this is going to sound extreme, but in the main, I attribute you to saving my wife's life, because back... Earlier last year, we're in 2021 now, in March, back end of March, Linda and I went into hospital with coronavirus, and I phoned you not long after I came out of hospital. Didn't know you from Adam, never met you. I had actually never heard about you, but a very good friend of mine introduced me to you, gave me your number. I phoned you. You didn't know me from Adam, but you knew who I was straight away. You went into Linda's energy, and from that moment on, if I may tell this story, June, very quickly, you said to me, well, I'm going to go into Linda's energy. She's very stagnant at the moment. You asked me if I would allow you to do that. And I said, absolutely, 100%. And I FaceTimed Linda literally 2 minutes before we went into her energy for you to send her healing. And Linda looked like she was on the verge of death. There's no other way to describe this. And we went in without Linda's knowledge. I didn't speak about it beforehand. And 35 minutes or thereabouts later, I FaceTimed Linda before I then spoke to you afterwards. Linda's mask was now off her face. She had colour in her cheek for the first time in probably 14 days. And she had a smile on her face. And I said, are you okay? And she pulled the mask away and she said, I can't stop smiling. For the first time since I've been ill, I feel like I'm going to get better. And that happened from the moment I put the phone down from you to the moment I called her. And within that time, you were sending healing. So for me, you saved my wife's life. Obviously, the NHS had a massive part in this because she was in their bed at that time having their treatment. But I absolutely think you contributed incredibly to it.
Well, it's teamwork. And if you remember, we were both sending our energy, Sam. So it was teamwork again. I'm really privileged to be able to help in any way that I can. And I just sit with the right intent. And as I say, if you make the right connection and you get things moving, it can make a difference. It can enhance what's already there. And sometimes people just need that extra shove, that's all. And it just tips them over the edge so that they think, wow, I've made it. It's as if somebody's hanging on to a ledge and you just give them a push and they've managed to get their leg over the top. And that's like, okay, I know I'm going to be okay. I've got a better grip on this. And I think that's what happened, Melinda.
Have you had many experiences like this, June, where you've had recognised immediately a vast difference in somebody's well-being with regards to the healing that you've sent?
Yes, many times. I'm very privileged to be able to have made a difference with a few people.
I mean, a good friend of mine you had a reading for, I won't say the name on air, but I don't know if she's told you yet, but you predicted that before the end of the year, she'd find the love of her life. She's literally moved in with him. She met him, I think, in late November, and she's moved in with him. It's nuts, June.
That's brilliant. That's good. I'm really pleased. I don't know who that could be, but I'm glad. That happens a lot as well, and it could happen the other way too, Sam. Somebody thinks that they're, oh, this is that. Well, a bit of a stepping stone. He's not the one, but, you know, somebody is coming for you. You just know. Again, that's the words. You just know.
That's the thing, June, and it's obviously, because I don't know if this is an exact science, because I don't know whether I still believe that if you are given an option to take a decision in life, you may go down a different route, the old sliding doors syndrome, you know, because there's always options. Is the outcome always the same, or is it always going to change regardless, irrespective of the time and the reading?
Well, just think of it like this. If a psychic said to you, you're going to go out and get hit by a bus, if you never go out the house again, that's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, it's true.
So therefore, you are technically in charge of what happens. There are about five different routes you can take. And when a psychic goes in and follows the line of the route that you're on through an energy, they're watching where that's going. And unless you, and it could work well, because they could be heading for disaster, and you can say to them, this is where you're going. You need to change this very quickly. And so they can change direction and it won't be as bad. Just the same as you can predict good as long as they stay in that direction and don't veer off.
Wow. So what do you actually see, June, when you're given this information about it, the person in front of you?
Oh, it's all like lots of things all at the one time. A big puzzle with, and because I've been doing this for such a long time, it's like I've built up my spiritual vocabulary that I understand things very quickly. I'll get a feeling, a sound, a smell, a taste, a vision, and I just put it all together very fast and very quickly. And all of these bits, mostly energy when I'm dealing with perceptions or going forward, I follow an energy. And it's similar to somebody will say, oh, am I going to live my life by myself? No, you're not, because I see two energies. Then it could work the other way. Am I going to be, is this going to be fixable if they're in a bad energy? Or am I going to make this work? No, you're not, because I see the energy separating. And I think that you're learning more about energies as well, Sam. You know, you're getting the hang of this yourself. So it is all about energy. It's about being connected, like a mobile phone, dialing the person's number, being on the same network, then you get off.
It's utterly fascinating, June. You explained to me, because I, as a layman, when I first met you, having had quite a few experiences throughout my life, you kind of nailed it down to different facets of mediumship and psychic, because there's a difference between psychic and medium, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. A psychic reads your records. A psychic gets into your energy and can tell you what you did yesterday or what you're going to do tomorrow. And it's all about energy. But a medium goes a little bit further than that. The energy then pushes them on to the etheric field where they can connect with those that have passed. And if you think about it in this way, we're called medium because a medium heightens the vibration. Those on the other side, spirit lower theirs and they meet in the middle.
Oh, right. Okay. And there's different levels of, or different forms of communication that a medium would receive as well, isn't there?
Every medium's different. It's like every television's different, every channel's different, every station's different. Everyone works differently. You only work your own way, and if you try to work someone else's way, then it's not going to be good for you, because you're taking yourself away from the potential of you working individually and being relaxed with it. So everybody perceives things and also gets things and communications differently. And it's their perception of how they put it together. You know, it differentiates, you know, whether they're a good communicator or not such a good communicator.
But the facets within the medium, I suppose, spectrum, there is there's vision, there's sight. It's like the senses, isn't it? Some people see and some people hear.
Some hear, some see, some hear and see. Or some just sense, clairsentience. But then you'll get some people that will be clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient, which is hear, see, and feel. And then on top of that other one, I just know.
Wow. What about you, June? Are you all of the above?
Yes, I hear, see, and feel. I remember very early on that it was always, we were always told that if you were musical and if you were a left-hander, that seemingly makes the best mediums also.
I better start working on my left hand. I'm definitely musical.
You're doing away fine without that, Sam.
Yeah, well, we said we'd be about it, and it's probably going to be the first time. I've spoken about it once before on a friend's podcast, but you've been guiding me through this, June, and I've got to tell you, it's changed my life because it's calmed me down. It's given me a level playing field, and some really odd stuff has been happening since I've been in communication with you, but you're brilliant, June. Did you have somebody that taught you, that mentored you throughout all of your initiation?
Yes, I did. I had a lovely lady called Jenny Brown, and she came from Dundee, and she noticed the potential in me early on, and she said, no, you're going to come under my wing. So I used to go to her house just to learn to get things under control, because it can... Things can get a bit out of hand, and spirit will push in when they can, and you have to have some sort of control or have times when you do your communication. And she was a lovely lady. I used to call her my spiritual mum. She'd probably died just a year before my mum died. And she said to me that she would be of more help to me on the other side. And I can still sense her at times because I was quite an emotional little creature that I know that's hard for you to understand, Sam, but I used to be, the wee bottom lip used to go when I used to get things and I was thinking, oh, that's sad. And she would just look at me and she would go, just cut that link and be like the surgeon. Step back and look at it peripherally. Don't get involved in the emotion because that's not what people want to hear. They want the facts and just give it to them.
Wow. Wowie. There really is an element of that, isn't it, where it can be a little bit overwhelming.
Oh, yes.
And there's also the other side of it, June, isn't there? The malevolent side of it we haven't touched on.
Yeah, there's good and bad in this world as it is in the next. And that's where you get people, and I've had many emails and many calls and interactions from people that have quite a lot since lockdown also, people that have been playing with Ouija boards or been dabbling, and they've said, look, my son did this and he was a teenager, and of course I told him to stop, but we're getting things happening in the house and I've seen them and my husband's seen them, and how can we stop that? Be very careful what you're dealing with, because when you use something like a Ouija board or any dabbling at all with spirit, the minute you open that door, you're not really sure who you're opening it to. And it's similar to going to bed at night and just leaving your front door open. The chances are that one of your neighbours or somebody will come in and say, you know, you've left your door opening, but there could be that chance that someone will just walk in and it's not so easy to get them out.
Yes, it is. Be careful what you're dabbling with. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can't add to that. So, June, mm-hmm. Listen, we've been on almost 27 minutes now. Before we go, 2020 was a horrendous year all round. I think, as I mentioned on one of my previous shows, there was only Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, who's really come out shining from all of this.
Yeah.
Do you see anything in the future that's a little bit brighter for the world?
I do. I know that it's going to be bad this month, and it's also going to be bad into probably half of the next month. My perceptions are that it will break at the end of February and we will start seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. And that March and April, we will start coming out of this. And a lot of people have said to me, well, what about financially? I do feel that there's a turning point financially for the world in and around September time. But finance is really into 2021. But we will start the healing probably after mid-year.
Well, I'm sure you're putting a lot of it out there as well, June. You're an incredible lady. A very, very dear friend of mine. And I love you very much. Thank you so much for coming on and taking the time to chat to us, June.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure, Sam.
Just tell us one more time where people can find June Field Medium.
www.junefieldmedium.com.
For anybody that's looking for any kind of peace, any kind of pureness, and the best psychic medium on the planet. Thank you very much, June Field. You have a great day. We'll speak soon.
Thanks, Sam. Take care.
Take care, darling. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.